let's begin the program in Somalia, where there is uncertainty after talks over election management collapsed.
The logic of defined political terms is that they provide the body politic with a sort of inoculation against what usually results when one person holds power too long. Going back to the voters every so often to ask whether or not they want the person in charge to crack on is a sensible precautionary measure. See also the term limit, which in some jurisdictions imposes a ceiling on the time any single citizen may occupy the big desk. There is, however, and as Somalia is this week discovering, an inbuilt flaw with the setup. At the moment the term elapses, either the incumbent needs to have a renewed mandate in their pocket, or a successor has to be ready to take the oath of office. The time of Somali President Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed, better known as Farmajo, was up on Monday. However, because no elections have been held, no president has been chosen. Several opposition factions and two of Somalia's five states have declared that they will no longer recognize Farmajo as president. Before we look at what happens next, spoiler alert, very possibly nothing good, a brisk recap of the backstory is probably in order.
The new president, Farmajo, I'm very happy today because the new president, Farmajo, is the voice of people.
Farmajo! Farmajo was elected in 2017. The idea had been that this was going to be a proper one-person, one-vote direct election, but it was decided, probably correctly, that the polling stations and queues would offer Somalia's various incorrigible militant groups rather too many targets. Instead, Farmajo was elected by Somalia's parliament, which is also not directly elected, but instead chosen via a framework which shares power among Somalia's clans and states. This is a necessarily complex apparatus. Many of the clans dislike each other, and a few of the states are iffy on whether they even think they're part of Somalia. It says much about what Somalia's MPs were up against when they chose a president that this vote was held not in the parliament building in Mogadishu, but in a heavily guarded and fortified hangar at Aden Ade International Airport, and only after it had been closed to air traffic and Mogadishu's roads closed to all traffic. It had been hoped for a while that by the end of Farmajo's term, Somalia would, by now, be in a position to conduct a more orthodox one-person, one-vote direct election, what would have been Somalia's first such since 1969. However, this was eventually reckoned, once again, an unacceptable security risk, specifically that to hold such a vote would have been asking Somalis to bet too large a stake on the goodwill of the Islamist terror group Al-Shabaab. COVID-19, nigh certainly being vastly under-recorded in Somalia, provided further discouragement. So this election was to have been another indirect one, though with a broader pool of delegates. But Farmajo's opponents believed, or purported to believe, that the president had been stacking the regional and national electoral boards with his political allies, which is why we are where we are, or perhaps more accurately, aren't. A delayed election is rarely a good thing, but it doesn't have to be the end of the world. Since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, at least 40 national votes of various sort have been delayed, and around 35 regional or local elections. In places where the democratic architecture is solid, this will barely count as a wobble, especially at sub-national levels. It will not cause the citizens of New South Wales to question the legitimacy of their democracy if they have to put up with their local councillors another year, ditto those of London as regards their mayor. But when the stakes are as high as national government and the foundations much less stable, such a jolt can have more dangerous consequences. A delayed parliamentary election has already triggered a war in Ethiopia. In an ominous and surely not coincidental gesture, shortly after Somalia's politicians failed to reach agreement at their latest talks in Dusa Marib, an Al-Shabaab roadside bomb struck a military convoy near the town, killing 13 people.
The members of the Security Council condemned terrorist attacks by Al-Shabaab. They reaffirmed their support for national sovereignty, territorial integrity, and political independence of Somalia.
Farmaajo now plans to meet with state leaders next week in an attempt to locate a compromise. It has to be hoped that they find one. Nowhere on earth is a power vacuum a good thing, and nowhere on earth is a power vacuum a worse thing, as recent history has repeatedly demonstrated, than in Somalia. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.